Hey, welcome everybody. Today you are listening to Pop Sub, which is with myself, Christopher Furman, and my compadre, James Fryer. And we're just here to kind of talk about what's new this week in entertainment and media, but not necessarily.
Good morning, Christopher. How's your van?
My van?
You living in your van?
I'm talking about my scary man van, the one I no longer deal with.
Whatever van, whatever car, whatever vehicle you got, you're living in it, right?
Not since my 20s.
You need to get into that. This is what today's show is all about.
Right, right. So today we're talking about...
Nomad Land.
That's right.
What a horrible title.
Yeah, but I get it.
No, I know. It's just, you know, it's just so funny. For such a well-crafted and subtle movie, they have an awful title.
It's hard to say.
I mean, it does not roll off the tongue. You have to very particularly say it.
Well, it's funny you said subtle because I started to watch this with the family. I figured if it got weird, I would just send them off away. I could not figure out why it was rated R.
Full frontal nudity?
That was like for a second. Does that even count?
Oh, it was 3 or 4 seconds. It was it wasn't like one of those really super quick shots, but it wasn't also, what's the word?
Well, it wasn't sexually arousing.
Well, I like women, so it's not hard to get me going.
Thanks for sharing. But really, I saw it. I'm like, next.
Yeah, it was a great little shot. Yeah, doesn't that drive you absolutely crazy? This is an R film for 3 seconds of completely non-offensive.
Well, that's the thing with
nudity,
with light nudity or just a second nudity. I don't really think it justifies rated R.
Oh God, no, no, that's completely ridiculous.
Well, maybe they could rate that nudity stuff like PG-13 or something. But I have a problem with the violence. That should be rated 13 or 14,
yeah,
or whatever.
Like the Matrix.
Yeah, sure.
Well, America is seriously, you know, America is seriously messed up.
No, but when it comes to nudity, yes. So what did you think of the film? I love this film.
I thought it was fantastic. I'm a little surprised that I wasn't sure you'd be able to take this kind of thing. But isn't this a great follow-up from last week?
Oh, yeah.
Totally unintentional.
Yeah, van life unintentionally. Last week, right? Van life. This movie touched me personally because for many years, I didn't call myself a nomad, but I was kind of like I called myself a rambler or maybe a light vagabond. Anyways, my early 20s, I had no permanent place where I lived.
It's because you were a vagabond.
Yes. But I lived in a tent for the most part. And for a short while, I was in my truck because I had a cab in the back.
Oh,
well, wow. I don't think we've ever talked about that, have we? It was when I was living in California. I mean, I had 2 jobs and I worked, but I wanted to travel around the world and I just didn't have enough money to do that. So this is how I saved. So that was my solution. Get rid of a permanent apartment or place to live. That permitted me to do what I wanted to do, which is kind of along the storyline of this movie.
Yeah, as we mentioned before, you did the van life thing before you had a van. You're a little more hardcore. You were the backpack life.
Well, what was interesting about this film to me, how they captured the culture of people that are, I mean, I don't want to say the word homeless, but without a permanent home, or as I said, the movie, without a house.
Houseless. Yeah, I mean, they're nomads. So let's just back up a little bit. The movie follows the exploits. Exploits is a very strong word. Follows the life of a woman who has basically lost her entire life and has decided proactively to move into a van and travel across the country.
Yeah, and also...
And I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to say... Massive spoiler heads, and by massive spoiler heads, I mean there's literally nothing in this movie that you can spoil, so it doesn't matter if you've seen it or not. I don't think we're going to spoil it for you by talking about all the particular things that we saw in the film.
Yes. So going back to the whole cultural thing. So when you are without a house, you are traveling, and you start to acquire friends as you travel. So you'll stay together for a day, a week, 2 weeks, and you'll do all the things you wanted to do at the place you're at, that you traveled at, or to. And oddly enough, you'll run into these people again, maybe a couple months later, or maybe a year or more again. And it's not crazy because you met in the first place because you probably have common interests. And that's exactly what happened in this movie, and which I really loved.
Yeah, and that sounds a lot like what happens on the long through hike trails we have in the U.S., the PTC and the Appalachian Trail. People talk about trail families where they, you know, they hook up with a couple of people who are going the same direction and they're have the same pace and they just get along. So they band together for a short period of time.
Well, they didn't really talk about this, but there's like safety in numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And so... So when you're traveling and you hit a place that might be a little hectic or scary or hairball, females tend to naturally attach themselves to males who they might feel safe around until things are comfortable for them again. And then they just suddenly take off.
Huh.
They didn't really talk about this too much, but they kind of hit this a little bit in the movie because you see the main character surrounded with like all these people. And then all of a sudden... they slowly peel off and away from her life for permanent, some of them.
Well, yeah, they come and go. I think what was really interesting, there was a moment where she's up north. I don't remember what state it was, but it was some god-awful state like North Dakota or something like that, which in the wintertime. So she's in a van and it's just miserable.
Maybe North Nevada.
And it's just miserable. And people, her friends who are leaving, they're leaving because the job at Amazon has ended and they're all going down south where it's nice and warm. And she is resistant and eventually she gives in. And there was a real shift in the tone of the film from cold and bleak and wet to bright and sunny. Still cold, but at least bright and sunny when she drives down south to Arizona.
Yeah, and that's this area called Quartzsite, which is along the 10. I'd like to talk about the cinematography there. But first, James, I think you have an announcement.
Hey, Christopher, I just want to remind you that this episode is sponsored by GoRageous. GoRageous.com for flooring, all your flooring, and none of your flooring.
Cool. Thanks, James. Let's get back to Quartzsite. And this particular area, which is near the California border, has these amazing mountains in the back. And I was kind of surprised they didn't really capture that at all.
Yeah.
Well, with the camera angles they used and the way they shot it, it just took away all the vibrance that was actually on that location. And it just started to get this very documentary kind of feel to it. Maybe they were trying to catch the dullness of it all, but definitely a lack of vibrance.
I wouldn't say, I don't know what device you're watching this on, but I wasn't, you know, it wasn't a shocking amount of vibrancy. It seemed like a real... it seemed like the color levels were accurate. It seemed like they're, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they weren't punching it up to make it look like some kind of Avengers movie, which made sense. And they were beautiful. And you know, that's the thing that really, right off the bat, the very first opening scene is her, you know, going through her storage locker. And it's a bleak, cold day in Northern Nevada. And the lighting and the cinematography and the angle and all the parts that make up a scene were so expertly crafted that I immediately felt cold. I immediately felt the isolation and the desolation. And there's just a real craftsmanship to this film that you don't see a lot.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It's quiet and it's slow. And it doesn't matter that it's quiet and slow because you're just, it just wraps you up.
I just was saying it felt a little bit like a documentary for a minute. But you're right. They also did this really cool technique where they use the human face as the landscape. And this gives the viewer the opportunity to really see the expressions on the actors' faces and get a real feeling of their emotions or the emotional moment. And another thing I thought was interesting, there isn't that many actors in this. Most of the people that you saw surrounding the actors are actually real people that live in the nomadic culture that we have here in the States. And so this is what's so fascinating is you get to see the actor reacting to real people and being caught on film. And because, like I said, the landscape of these real people with the lines in their faces and the expressions, you can almost know their whole life story before they've said a word.
Yeah,
it's just fabulous.
That is a great point that the most of the people we see are actual van lifers. These people actually live out there. And, you know, I had no idea that Bob Wells was going to be in this movie. And there he is. And we talked about Bob Wells from last week being the old man guru of van life on YouTube. And here he is here. And they are able to, the director, Chloe Zhou, I don't know if I probably mispronounced that, but it sounds better. It sounds good that way. Chloe Zhou, the director who got Best Director the Academy Award for Best Director for this film, and I think rightly so. She has a masterful way of melding professional actors and storylines with non-professional actors and storylines that were not written.
Yeah, I am very curious now about Bob's story, because normally when you watch a movie, you walk away at the end and you're like, ah, it was just all fiction. But in this movie, you're like, oh, that was real.
Yeah, you felt something.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of the essence of the film. It takes a while to kind of creep up on you, but it's a film about loss.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And it doesn't pull any punches in the van life. I mean, I think you still probably come away with it with a, well, maybe not. I don't know. It depends. I mean, there are certainly some, I wouldn't say unpleasant scenes, but real scenes. There are a lot of real scenes in this, but I still wonder, people coming away from this are going to get what kind of sense, real sense of van life they're going to have from this.
Well, it also touched me, and I think a lot of people in the States, is this film really is dealing with baby boomers and maybe even a few Generation Xers.
What?
Curious enough, my 13-year-old watched this film almost to the very end and then finally goes, nope, I'm done.
Really? He couldn't? Huh, that's interesting. Almost, but not always.
But my older teens, they were like, nope, I'm out of here right away. I mean, where they stay a few minutes.
Know, they have no taste. Well, I'm not sure exactly. I don't know I don't think this film had a marketing department that they were sitting down trying to decide which generation to target. I think it was just the director had something that she wanted to make, and it was based on a book. I think it was a New York Times journalist took 3 years to travel around with these people and wrote stories about it. So there's a lot of truth in the film. I don't know how much, obviously there's some fictional elements to it as well, but I think most of it, it's kind of an odd film because it really is a mix of real and fantasy. Not much fantasy, really.
I don't think it took away from the just film at all, but I thought it was a little odd how you have this mix of real and not and fictional characters mixed together in the storyline. And all of a sudden at the very end, they just, all the real people leave and you're left with just actors. Like I said, it wasn't a terribly crazy odd thing, but I did notice this. Like, oh, okay, back into fiction. Hey, let's rate this thing.
Oh yeah, two thumbs up, unquestionably.
Yeah, obviously I think this is a great movie too. Totally two thumbs up. I think that this movie might be more appropriately rated at a PG-13 if parents can get past the whole 3 seconds, maybe 4 seconds of nudity with a woman floating nude in the water. I mean, that's not a big deal, I don't think.
Unquestionably.
I also think it's a great film if you can get a kid to actually watch it, because it shows you the consequences of your decisions, both positive and negative.
Well, it's just a great exposition of character. They have a few moments with Fern's sister.
Yes.
And I thought that was so wonderful because you get a sense that the director is very good at capturing the nomads, but then this is a complete 180 where she goes and looks at some pretty wealthy real estate agents, essentially, and just kind of dismantles them. It's not really an evisceration of it, but it's not exactly a pretty picture of it. It really makes her look fairly pretentious and in so subtly.
Well, and it's like in the real world, we have these atypical people that live in our society. And the norms or the semi-norms or what society considers to be normal, and they just totally don't understand these other people that stand on the fringe of society, I guess.
Well, you know, they want to put them in a box so they can understand
them. It's hard for people that don't live like others.
And to make more sense of...
Yeah, and if they don't fit into that box, that somehow there's something wrong with them. Anyway, speaking of boxes, I'll get off my soapbox. Anyways, I think this film is great. It is a little slow at times.
It is slow. If you don't have the tolerance for slow films, this is not your film. But if you have even the slightest tolerance, or maybe wondering if you have that tolerance, this is a good test. And the only other point I want to make was, as I said, this is a film of loss, and it's kind of funny that some people would call it her journey as running away from her pop problems. Other people would just say she's using her journey to move on. And I think that's a matter of perspective. You know, her sister and, well, her sister's friends, I think, would look at her, at this journey of hers, and say, oh, she's just running away from her problems. Whereas other people would look at it a little bit more gently and say that she's using this journey to move on.
Yes, yes, yes. This week, great conversation. So glad to chat with you about this movie. A lot of fun. And I guess I'll see you next week, James. Bye-bye.
Great. Thanks a lot, Christopher. See you.
PopSub Podcast has been brought to you by Marcus in Motion. It's a little. For more information, go to popsubpodcast.com. To contact PopSub Podcast, go to info@popsubpodcast. Thank you.
Is it gonna last with the freaky cast?
Wonder where I'm going.
Pops up cast. Pops up cast. Pops up cast.
Wee-way! What's upon a midnight dreary? Well, I was pounding weak and weary. On your phone, it looks so dreary. I got a suggestion that would make you cheery. It's Go-rageous. They got floors with fishes and fairies, bubbles and berries, cats and canaries. So as you're looking for something a little unique, go to our website and go take a peek. That's G-O-R-A-G-E-O-U-S.